Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's topic is Racing Games 2. And if you remember correctly, in our first season, we had a Racing Games episode, and we played a lot of great music from all different kinds of racing games, and today we're going to be taking a look at even more, some that you've probably never heard of before.
Yeah, this is going to be a cool episode. I think one of the cool things about the playlist of today's episode is we have a nice variety of old games, new games, and everything in between, so this should be a nice eclectic mix of racing game music.
Definitely. Today's also kind of exciting because Carl just got some new headphones. How are those sounding, Carl?
They sound good. I think our levels match.
Yeah, finally. I've been always saying turn it down, and you've been always saying turn it up.
Yeah, and now I know what you're talking about. I think my old headphones are a little bit quiet, so I feel good right now. I feel ready to listen to some nice, exciting racing game music. One thing I love about racing music is the excitement and the energy level is always really high, like for the most part, unless you're like playing some menu theme or some like pause theme. Like
yeah.
Most of the time it's like music that gets your blood pumping, and it's something that would actually be good workout music. So I don't know if any of you guys are
right.
Working out right now.
I guess for lack of a better term, you could say that it's very driving, no pun intended, you know, driving rhythmically.
I actually do think that was intended. But anyway, yeah, if any of you guys are working out when you're listening to this, this will be a perfect playlist for you to move and groove to. What you're hearing right now is the main theme from Excitebot's Trick Racing. That was a really good game that came out for the Wii.
It was very good. It was actually, I think, one of the better racing games to come out in this past decade.
Definitely. It was cool because they had Excite Truck, which came out as like a Wii launch game,
right.
And then they had this idea to like have an Excite series, but mm-hmm. I think all they made was Excite Bots, and that was it.
Well, I remember there was Excitebike 64 on the Nintendo 64,
right.
And they like rebooted Excitebike for like a Wii Virtual Console kind of game, but this game was really cool because it brought some of the concepts from the old NES classic Excitebike as far as like when you're in the air having to orient your vehicle so that it doesn't crash.
Except what's cool about this is they would like, it's like Transformers kind of pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah, they could like
game.
Start off walking, and then they could fly and do all kinds of cool and very goofy things. Like I remember, you could like get like a shoe on your head and kick a soccer ball
oh
into
gosh.
A goal and stuff.
After this, can we please play some Excitebots? I'm in the mood.
Oh, totally.
All right, so we're going to get things started today with a game called Top Gear Rally, and this came out for the Nintendo 64, and it was composed by Barry Leitch. Let's take a listen to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline from the game Top Gear Rally, composed by Barry Leitch. And one really cool thing about this composer and this soundtrack is that Barry was actually a composer that did a lot of work on like Commodore 64 and I believe Amiga, and that's really evident in this track. If you listen to the way it's panned, it's panned exactly like Amiga tracks.
Oh.
Do you remember Amiga tracks? They would only be able to have the drums on one channel.
Right.
And so actually this track is really good headphone music. Like if you're listening to this with headphones, it's really, if you happen to be listening to this on a speaker, I recommend putting some headphones in because it really changes it a lot.
Yeah, it's almost like 3D music, you know, you have things on different sides, you close your eyes and sort of creates a large kind of soundscape because Carl is so right. There is a lot of that hard panning, and the thing that just really jumped out at me the whole time was on the left channel, you just really got that.
Absolutely.
That's a really sort of impressive sound.
Sort of Amiga,
time.
Though. Like, this actually reminds me of that. Do you remember that one Amiga demo we played called, like, Hyper Based?
Right.
It's very similar sound. I think it's cool that he was evoking the Amiga sound in an N64.
Right.
I don't know. I just think this is a really cool track, and this whole soundtrack is pretty well done. It's good racing game music, you know? Because, like, with racing game music, it's not always about having, like, really catchy melodies. It's more important that it's, like, music that kind of keeps your blood pumping. Like, first of all, it gets it pumping, but then it keeps it pumping throughout the whole track.
Right.
You know, because, like, you have to be able to have a lot of stamina in a racing game. No, but one thing that's cool about this episode is, like, last week, you know, how we did sports games, and now we're doing racing, too. These are kind of nice kind of companion episodes to go back-to-back to. We're going to see some composers that we touched on last week. We're going to see them come back this week, so that's kind of fun. But, I think this season will be cool because we'll have a lot of these, like, sequel episodes.
Yeah, get to go back and touch on some of the themes that we've maybe just scraped the surface on before and get to go in a little bit more in depth. One thing that I wonder about this track in particular, knowing how the Nintendo 64's sort of sound chip worked, I'm curious to see if some of these sounds are samples. I know, obviously, the drums are, but some of those synthy instruments, they almost sound like, you're right, they sound more like Amiga or like a 16-bit console. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Super Nintendo or Genesis or something. It doesn't necessarily have that sort of clean sound that a lot of the Nintendo 64 synth sounds have. So I'm very curious about that.
Maybe the whole thing is a sample. You know, maybe he just, like, made an Amiga track and then just, like, sampled the whole track for the N64 or something.
Do you think, actually?
It's
possible.
I mean, it's possible, you know. Yeah, no, it's really cool. I think one thing that's kind of nice is today we're going to be featuring a few games that are a little bit more obscure. So, like, if you listen back to our Racing Games 1, most of that is just, like, absolutely classic, like, quintessential racing games. And there's definitely going to be some of those on today's episode. But one kind of cool thing is we kind of expanded and tried to feature music from maybe slightly lesser-known games. So that's kind of exciting. We're going to move on to a game for the Super Nintendo, one of my personal favorite racing games from that era. This is called Super Off-Road. And this is composed by Tim and Jeff Fallon. We're going to play a track called Fandango, and I believe this is the music to the first stage in the game. Let's take a listen to Fandango from Super Off-Road. You're listening to Fandango from Super Off-Road for the Super NES, composed by the Fallon Brothers. This is a very nostalgic piece of music for me.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually very surprised to find out this was a Fallon Brothers track because, I don't know, we've really grown to appreciate them and their very unique compositional style and technological advancements on this podcast, but I guess I never really realized that there's a game that I could have grown up with that they composed the music to, so this was a total shock to me, but Off-Road's a really interesting racing game because it's all in that sort of one, like, bird's eye view.
It's like the three-quarter bird's eye view, yeah. It's a really effective type of view, type of gameplay for 16-bit era. Actually, I would say two of my personal favorite types of, like, views for racing games, of, like, old-school games, is that kind of three-quarters and the 100% top-down view.
Oh, really?
I love all those kind of games. Like, I actually prefer that to, like, most other racers. I just find that so much fun. Like, completely top-down.
I bet you really liked in the DS Mario Kart when you were able to just look at the bottom half of the screen.
I did it so much. Like, most of the times, that's all I did is just look at the map. It was fun. Cool. That's a cool track.
Definitely, we're probably going to get into some more eclectic pieces of music in this second episode, but it's really cool because all the music that we're going to play is definitely going to be following a lot of the characteristics that we talked about in our previous racing games episode, like how driving it is and how it's supposed to have that perpetual nature. Another thing that we really talked about a lot on that racing games episode is that pattern of chord progressions, how you start on something, move up, then back down and back down. There's usually about three chords. This one totally has it. And what you usually do is the main chord that, if you're thinking about it in the context of a piano, what the right hand would be playing, the lowest note would stay the same, and the upper two voices would move parallel up and then back down.
Yeah, it'd pretty much just be inversions of the 4 and 5 and 4. But yeah, you can think of it as the Mario Kart, we've called it that, / Billie Jean chord progression. Whatever you want to think of it as. Yeah, when you have a minor key, it really changes the kind of emotions that are conjured up with that progression, but yeah, that's very effective. Let's move on to a game for the NES called Micro Machines. This was composed by Matt Gray, And if you remember him, on our back in our computer music episode, we played a track from, I believe it was The Last Ninja 2, which was composed by Matt Gray. Let's take a listen to the title theme of Micro Machines.
Listening to the title theme from Micro Machines. This is a really cool song. You know, in the beginning, you have that technique, that sort of 8-bit technique that we talked about on the Evolution of NES episode that the Fallen Brothers did, and we heard it in Mick Kids a little bit, where they used that arpeggio setting really quickly so that it sounded like you only heard one note, but it almost sounded like it was doing this crazy sort of like technological, like vibrato almost, but what it's actually doing, it's doing really fast arpeggios.
Oh, absolutely.
But the very bottom note is the loudest, so you're just sort of hearing like it wander
well,
off
it fills
and just
up
sort
the
of
sound.
Explode.
It fills up the sound really nicely. And one thing that I was really struggling by with this track is you notice the bass is actually, they use the square channel for the bass, which is very rare for the NES, and they use the triangle for that high arpeggiated color,
right,
which is the opposite of what most NES tracks do. And what I think is cool is that off the bat, it gives it a little bit more of like a handheld kind of Game Boy sound.
Right, or almost something like Kirby.
Absolutely, because of that square on the bass. But what it does is it makes it a little bit more driving. And also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they would probably have, in this particular track, wouldn't you probably think the triangle would be the one that would cut out for sound effects? Most likely.
Most likely.
Just because it's probably the least important. So I think it's cool that you get that really driving square on the bass.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of sound effects on the NES for, like, car crash noises were similar to how we talked about how they would do the Toms and Sunsoft games.
Oh,
they would
right.
do those portamento falls with the triangle because that sort of had that really sort of bassy sort of...
But actually, what I was thinking when we were listening to this is actually, I'm pretty sure the sound effects for a game like this would probably be all noise channel generated.
Yeah.
You think about, like, that type of a crash or anything like that would all be noise channel. You know?
Yeah, I mean, potentially for, like, an explosion, but I also think that, like, that portamento fall sound for the triangle, you get that sort of, like, bassy, almost like the punch sound in Double Dragon.
That's a great sound.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on to a game for the Sega Saturn. This is also released for the arcades, I believe. This is Sega Rally Championship. It's a really nice, jazzy soundtrack. It was composed by Naofumi Hataya. Let's take a listen to Mountain Replay. Cool, man. This is Mountain Replay from Sega Rally Championship, composed by Naofumi Hataya. I like when it comes back to the beginning of this form, there's the guitar solo over that.
Right.
In general, this the form of this whole song is really long. One of my favorite additions to the drums is when he goes to the bell on the ride cymbal. That
right. kind
of just adds a little bit more, again, driving force rhythmically to this piece. But yeah, the chord progression is really cool, and it's actually really melodic. Like, it's very soloistic. It kind of sounds like someone's playing a synth solo. But what's cool about it is that it's not, like, kind of too random. It definitely feels a little bit purposeful, in my opinion.
Oh, it's totally intentional. I think that's a really good point, Carl, that the sound that it's trying to evoke is very soloistic, but when you really listen to it, every single note is sort of like a well-crafted melody, and I think that's a nice effect. It's something you hear in video games a lot, sort of the illusion of an on-the-spot, like, improvised solo, when it really probably is a little bit more constructed. One thing that I really like about this one is you get those very two different guitar tones. Like, here, you get that just classic, pure, distorted guitar sound, but then right after it, when it goes back into the form, you have that guitar solo with that very sort of dirty sound. You have
it's
that, like,
bit,
dirty
yeah.
timbre, and it's really nice. Here, you're actually getting some harmonies, but I just love how pure the tone of the guitar is. It's really lyrical and beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool. Another thing that I like is the second half of that A section when it repeats. There's that organ that's added, the kind of those organ slides. Like, yeah, no, just really good instrumentation.
In general, one thing that I really like about racing games and racing game music is I feel like you hear a lot of rhythmic similarities. One thing is in this track, you hear the electric piano playing on the offbeats.
Yeah.
But in general, having chords on the offbeats is something you hear with a lot of racing game music. Because if you have a consistent rhythm section, if the bass and drums are sort of locked in, together, keeping that rhythmic drive, it's kind of cool having those offbeats just with the chords, because
absolutely.
You get a lot of that syncopation, but when it feels consistent and driving, it just makes it a lot more interesting.
And it fills in the cracks too, like it's all puzzle pieces interlocking, you know, dun 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 dun. Like, it's just, it all fits together.
And for some reason, that's a huge connotation for, like, this type of driving music.
Yeah, and I mean, that all comes from jazz too, and it's all kind of the foundations of, like, comping, where, like, if you're playing the piano and you're comping a soloist, you're going to try to fill in the cracks, you know, rhythmically of where there's space that's open. But
right, I guess it's kind of like what Peter McConnell said, how he thought jazz was a good music for, like, you know, on the road and
yeah,
had that
definitely.
Very American
this
kinda
is this is a pretty different context for that.
Right.
Yeah, no, one thing that I think is cool about this soundtrack and this kind of mid-90s video game music is that it's kind of reminiscent of some, like, kind of like smooth jazz, some things you might hear on the radio.
Right.
But one thing that's so cool is that it's like smooth jazz on steroids, because, like, in video games, it has to match the really colorful, like, eye-popping nature of the graphics. So with the music, it can't be, like, too laid back.
When you have
that
80s, like, pop brass.
Yeah, but it's so melodically interesting, you know, much more than the average, you know, smooth jazz track, which most people would just find boring.
Yeah, another thing, the melody that the horns were playing in the beginning reminded me a lot of Flying Battery Zone from Sonic and Knuckles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can hear that.
And I think it's kind of cool because this is, you know, Sega Rally Championship, so I don't know, maybe there was some sort of Sonic influence, but when
definitely,
I first heard this, I thought it was like a Sonic racing game.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like Sega. One kind of cool thing is we actually are going to come back to Naofumi Hitaya later on today, so look forward to that.
Very exciting.
But first, we're going to move on to a Genesis game called Road Rash. This is an incredibly well-loved motorcycle racing game for the Genesis, and this was composed by none other than Rob Hubbard and Mike Bartlow. Let's take a listen to Grass Valley from Road Rash. You're listening to Grass Valley from Road Rash, composed by Rob Hubbard and Mike Bartlow. One thing that stood out to me is if you notice, the sound of the lead, it's kind of like that sonic bass instrument, but they take it up the octave for it to be the lead instrument.
Yeah.
And when it stays on that vibrato, what's cool is when the note is sustaining, all you're hearing is the overtones. You know, it gets to that point where you're just hearing the overtone. It's kind of a cool effect. I don't know. I'm assuming it was intentional, but it's like there. You hear that?
Yeah, you get like the bang for your buck.
It starts off as like a bass, and then it ends as a theremin or something. It's crazy.
That's interesting. Do you think they're like purposely cool, like changing like the phase somehow to get that overtone?
I just think like the sustain of that lead was set in such a way where it only sustained for like a second or so. So then the rest of it was just going to be like that.
That's so weird. Do you think that that overtone is there the whole time? You're just not hearing it because it's being drowned out by that bass?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's really cool because it has sort of like a nice fade in between them.
Yeah, this is a pretty good track. This is personally probably my favorite track of the soundtrack. I'm not a huge fan of the soundtrack. I think it's kind of infamous. I think it's definitely very important for the Sega Genesis. I mean, I remember playing this game a lot and actually having a really good time with this game.
Right.
This music isn't necessarily something that I'm a huge fan of, but this is a good track. Let's move on to a game called Kirby Air Ride. And this is a fantastic soundtrack, and we played a track from this on our Kirby episode. Let's play a track called Magma Flows. This was composed by Jun Ishikawa, Hirokazu Ando,
the Kirby Masters,
Shogo Sakai, and Tadashi Ikikami. Here is Magma Flows. You're listening to Magma Flows from Kirby Air Ride, composed by the Kirby Masters. It's a pretty cool soundtrack. This track in particular is definitely very Danny Elfman influenced. There's a particular movie that comes to mind when I hear this. I'm sure you guys all know. We don't even need to say
Beetlejuice,
it.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, no, this is a cool
track. One thing,
you're
getting a little bit of, it's quoting that Kirby theme.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kind of all throughout the soundtrack. You're always going to hear those kind of rhythmic motifs happening.
Yeah, didn't we have like the track that we played on the Kirby episode for Air Ride? It sort of was doing that throughout the whole thing.
It might have been Celestial Valley. I don't remember exactly which one it was. But yeah, this whole soundtrack, I really like how playful it is. And it's cool because it's orchestral, but it also fits for racing music. There's not a lot of racing soundtracks that are orchestral, so that's something that kind of sets this one apart.
Yeah, it's another cool example, similar to the Mario Kart games, where it's blending the concept of racing, but the pre-established world of Kirby. It's taking that
Absolutely.
Whole sound style from the Kirby games. A lot of those motifs that we mentioned earlier, in addition, a lot of the compositional elements and even the certain sound sort of cliches that you would have in the Kirby games, but sort of infusing it with like more testosterone.
Oh, and even in a simple level, the tempos too. I mean, I think it really was a perfect union because Kirby music kind of feels already like it could fit a racing game. Like the tempos are very fast, very driving, very rhythmically
right.
interesting. So yeah, it was kind of a nice fit. Well, we're going to move on now to Super Mario Kart, one of the most influential racers of all time for the Super NES. Let's take a listen to Bowser's Castle, and this game was composed by Soyo Oka and Taro Bando. Enjoy! Cool, this is Bowser's Castle from Super Mario Kart. And actually, the melody, this is kind of based off of, what is it? Is it the final Bowser from Mario World?
The whole general song here is very much based off of the final Bowser battle in Super Mario World, composed by Koji Kondo. But what's kind of cool is the melody sort of evolves into its own little thing. It starts off very similar. And the other cool thing is you get those classic Mario Kart instruments, especially among those is that sort of like rock organ, which definitely has a racing connotation.
And also, man,
it.
That orchestra hit. Can't love it enough.
Yeah.
That orchestra hit is so good.
Yeah, it's different. I know that there is an orchestra hit in the Mario World version, but it's like a different orchestra hit sample. Like, this game has a different sample. Like,
which
you can tell
better?
It's kind of different. I don't know. The Mario World one is so classic to me, but what I like is, like, you get a whole new set of sounds for this. It definitely has that racing connotation, because, again, all the choices of instruments in this game are very much intentional, and all the samples that they did have that already kind of, like, connotation, like almost like 60s like driving music. Like, that's some of the sounds that they were going for, even though the music doesn't necessarily sound like that.
I think it's so much fun because, like, when this game came out in, what was it, like 91 or something, like Mario World was so recent, so like when you play this Bowser's Castle, it probably was really cool. It's like, oh yeah, like I just played this a little while ago,
right?
One thing that I think we should do is, can we have like an orchestra hit episode, or at least can we make like a montage of like all our favorite uses of orchestra hits? That'd be kind of fun. We're going to move on to our track of the week. This is from a game called Looney Tunes Space Race. Kind of an obscure game that most people probably haven't heard of. This came out for the Dreamcast as well as the PlayStation 2. This was composed by Gavin Parker, and we're going to play a track called Wild West Quadrant. This is a nice funky track for you to move and groove to. Enjoy. Holy smokes, that's one funky piece of music right there. That is Wild West Quadrant from the game Looney Tunes Space Race, composed by Gavin Parker. Man, that bass tone is simply to die for. It's
really nice.
It's so meaty, and there's a little bit of overdrive on it, but it's just, that's one of my favorite things about this piece.
Yeah, what's kind
of
cool is it is meaty, and you have that overdrive sound, but I almost feel like it's mixed in with just, like, the direct-in bass feed.
Absolutely.
Because like, it's also kind
of
dry,
there's a lot
too.
Of clarity
like, I feel
to
like
it.
There's a dry mix also.
And that guitar, I mean, let's just talk about that guitar for a little bit. That's just incredibly funky. Yeah. Really nice rhythm playing there.
Also, like, sort of an eclectic set of instruments. Like, some of those synth things just sort of come out of nowhere.
And then they cut out right away too. And
yeah,
there's some
really
cool rhythmic things that happen where it's kind of like, it feels like the record's skipping, but it's on purpose. Like, really playful, really imaginative music.
Yeah, I love this sort of like house backbeat. Like, you get that doo, 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 that like uber kick drum that sounds really synthy, and you get that like very vintage fake sort of hand
absolutely.
Clap sound.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's a couple tracks, the track we played in with, the Top Gear Rally, this one, it's kind of nice to be able to focus a little bit more on the techno side of things, because that is definitely a very rich tradition in video game racing music.
Right.
So that's kind of cool that we can feature
it's
that
It's
kind
of like a
today.
Fusion. Like, it's you're getting some of those funky sounds harmonically and instrumentally, but as far as, like, the rhythmic backbeat, it's very sort of linear and grid-based, which is a kind of cool fusion of different genres and sounds.
Yeah, one thing to note is, like, in recent years, like, most racing games that come out, they have licensed soundtracks, and it's pretty much all techno. Like, something that I can think of is, like, the Wipeout series. And that's something that we probably wouldn't play a track from on the podcast, because we kind of want to focus on, like, you know, original video game music, things that you can only hear in video game soundtracks. So that's just something to note there. But cool, we're going to go way back in time to RC Pro-Am for the NES, composed by the legendary Dave Wise. We're going to listen to the title screen. This is a very classic piece of music. This track is only about 35 seconds long, so there's actually no loop here. Please enjoy Title Screen. cool. That was Title Screen from RC Pro-Am, composed by Dave Weiss. Such an energetic and classic piece of music.
Yeah, it's really classic. That melody is really good. I feel like I've heard this song so many times, but also just because it's really classic, because I never grew up playing this game, but I remember the very first time I heard this song and just feeling like, oh, what is that from? Because it's just, it's an instant classic.
And absolutely.
I remember I was really excited to discover that Dave Wise did a lot of NES games, because I actually didn't know that, because I remember we sort of were huge fans of the Donkey Kong Country series and all that music. It was kind of cool to discover that he did a lot of those Rare games back in the day.
Yeah, that was definitely a new discovery for me when we started the podcast. I wasn't aware of that before we started. But yeah, one thing that's cool is most of the times, either on this podcast or just video game music in general, you never really get to hear an ending. It's always just loop-based and it goes on forever. And it's nice you get to hear an actual ending to this piece, especially for title screen. Because even when I think of title screen music, so many title screens just loop forever until you press start. So it's nice that you get this actual end, and it's just a kind of a nice, rousing, exciting way to start off this game. So that's pretty cool. Let's move on to Sonic R. This was a pretty goofy Sonic racing game that came out for the Sega Saturn and features a pretty goofy soundtrack. It was composed by Richard Jacques, who also did the Saturn version of 3D Blast, and this soundtrack actually features a female singer who sings on most of these tracks. And
yeah, she's like a pop vocalist, and the lyrics are, we've talked about this before because we played another track, they're very overt, like there's not much subtlety in the lyrics. It's just sort of saying the setting of the level, or
it's
like,
I mean,
talking about Sonic.
There's no way around it. It's incredibly cheesy, but it's also kind of fun. It's kind of a, I don't know if, recently, I was watching this interview with Dave Grohl, and he says he doesn't believe in guilty pleasures, because, like, if you like something, just like it. And that's kind of what I feel about Sonic R. It's like, I don't really want to call it a guilty pleasure, because I kind of like it, you know?
Yeah.
So let's take a listen to Living in the City from Sonic R. This is a catchy piece of music. This is Living in the City, composed by Richard Jacques for the Saturn game Sonic R. What do you think about this track, Will? I know you're moving and grooving to this one.
Oh, such a guilty pleasure. No, I love it. I think it's great. It's really well composed, you know, great chords. It sounds super 80s. It actually reminds me of a lot of earlier Sonic music. But again, the presentation is obviously fairly cheesy for today's standard, but I even feel like back then it might have been a little bit intentional, because it definitely sounds very kind of like Japanese and very kind of like 80s pop music. But this guy, Richard Jacques, I mean, he's definitely not Japanese, and it's you know, there's not like a translation thing. I think it might just be kind of going for something a little bit more silly.
I think so too, yeah. I wonder if this was ever featured in a DDR game. This would be perfect for DDR, don't you think?
Yeah, that would be really cool. It's a very, very catchy song.
Yeah.
Even though the lyrics are obviously, they're really kind of silly, and it's kind of a stretch. Like, they almost sound like improv, like freestyles.
Yeah, I think this game in Japan must have been titled Supersonic Racing, because there's a track in the soundtrack called Supersonic Racing. It's one of my favorites. The chord progression, if you guys just are curious, you can check it out on YouTube or whatever. The chord progression is actually really interesting. Like, it starts off kind of minor, but then when it switches, it like modulates to major key. It's kind of this weird Picardy third.
Supersonic racing, gotta keep your feet back on the ground.
What are it's something like that. Yeah, so Will kind of just gave it away. But yeah, let's move on to Top Gear for the Super Nintendo. We played Top Gear Rally, which is for the 64, and that was composed by Barry Leitch, and this was also composed by Barry. This is the original Top Gear. Let's take a listen to Las Vegas. ¶¶ This is Las Vegas from Top Gear for the SNES, composed by Barry Leitch. One thing I will say about his style is I feel like he's still kind of stuck in that old like Commodore Amiga era, and when you don't have those nostalgic sounds, it doesn't really work quite as well. You know, it's kind of interesting, but...
Well, you definitely don't have the technical limitations anymore, but right. I think it's still a well-composed piece. I mean,
yeah.
It's definitely not as innovative in this context as it was
yes,
on the Amiga.
Absolutely.
But I don't think the songwriting has generally gotten any worse.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on to a game called Pokemon Dash. This is kind of a nice obscure pick on today's episode. This was composed by Miki Obata. Let's take a listen to Green Cup. Listening to Green Cup from Pokemon Dash for the Nintendo DS, composed by Miki Obata. This is a fun piece of music. It kind of feels at home in the Pokemon series, but it also totally. Fits racing.
I wonder what our good friend Steven Reich, our Pokemon expert friend, would think about this soundtrack. I'd be kind of curious to see what he says about this game, because I've never really heard much about it myself.
Yeah, I definitely haven't heard of it before. It was cool. It's an on-foot racing game. Like Pokemon right. are actually just running. I think it's kind of a cool subgenre of racing games that I don't really know of many on-foot racers.
Right. You know? I think it's just a good opportunity, because there's so many great characters in the Pokemon series.
Right.
You know, you really have a important thing in a fun racer is to have a lot of choices and a lot of options mm-hmm. in a character select screen or like a car select screen, depending on what type of racing game it is. And I mean, with mm-hmm. Pokemon, you don't really even have to put much thought into it. There's so many characters to choose from, and I imagine there's probably a lot of unlockable content and stuff.
I'm assuming that Sonic R was probably an on-foot racer as well.
Yes, it was.
We actually, later on, we're going to feature another Sonic racing game that I think that may have been an actual vehicular Sonic racer, if I'm not mistaken. But
Sonic upgraded to cars.
We'll get to that later. We're going to move on to a game for the Super Nintendo. And this was actually, when I was thinking about doing this episode, doing another racing games episode, this was the first one I knew I really wanted to do. I think I actually wanted to include it in our racing games one, and I forgot.
Right, Cruising USA.
Nope, this is Rock and Roll Racing for the Super Nintendo. And this soundtrack featured really famous rock tunes that were done up on the SNES by Tim Follin, actually. And he just did an amazing job of recreating these rock standards. And actually, this is probably the most impressive sounding rock music that you'll ever hear on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, he gets that really good guitar sound from the Plock games that
right.
both Tim and Jeff Follin worked on. And it's that same really good sound. And one thing I'm noticing, there's definitely two distinct samples, because if a note is played twice on that guitar, there's a slightly different attack, which leads me to believe
that's
that there's two separate samples that he's switching back and forth.
That
so
could
that it
be,
sounds
yeah. No, but
more
everything
realistic.
About it—the drums, just some absolutely great drum samples. The bass, like it really—it feels like a band is actually playing this. We're gonna play a track called "Paranoid," made famous, of course, by Black Sabbath. And once again, this game was worked on by Tim Follin. Let's take a listen to "Paranoid" from Rock and Roll Racing. You know what would have been funny is if they tried to sample Ozzy Osbourne's vocals on this. That'd be absolutely hilarious. There's actually a couple games that I could think of that had really funny uses of sampling. There's actually one that was kind of impressive slash hilarious. It was the Power Rangers game for the Super Nintendo.
Really?
They sampled the theme song.
Oh, no.
Like, they literally sampled the whole thing, and it kind of worked, but it also was kind of hilarious at the same time.
They tried to do that on the NES. I can't remember what game it is now.
Anyway, this is Paranoid, of course, from Rock and Roll Racing. This is just really well done. It really kind of feels like the original. You know, it definitely captures the vibe of what this original song was going for, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of cool that instead of attempting to have some really cheesy synth instrument for the vocal part, you get that really cool solo guitar, which sounds really impressive. You know, this is kind of a cool instrumental version of the song. I mean, obviously, by today's standards, you can tell it's not real, but at the time for the SNES, mm-hmm. I mean, this was really blurring the line between video game music and just plain music. Like, this is just a really catchy, good rock song, and, I mean, the drum part is just fantastic. The drum samples are really good, and it's very authentic to the original.
Kind of a nice facet of Tim Fallon here. We're going to move on to one of my favorite discoveries I made this week when preparing for this episode. This is a game called Mickey's Speedway USA. And this was an N64 game by Rare, I believe. And it was kind of, you know, one of those mini kart games that was inspired by Mario Kart. Didn't really know much about this game, but it has a pretty fantastic soundtrack. The soundtrack was composed by Ben Cullum, who I've never really heard of him before, but apparently he worked for Rare for a few years. And he just did a fantastic job with the soundtrack.
Yeah, I wonder if we could ask Mr. Kirkhope if he's aware who this gentleman is.
We should do that at some point. But yeah, what's cool about this game is all the tracks are various locations all throughout the U.S. You know, so you have, like, for example, you have L.A. and, like, Seattle and New York and Texas. And, all, and this one we're going to play is San Francisco. This is a really nice piece of music. What's cool about the soundtrack is it doesn't necessarily always sound like video game music. It just kind of sounds like legitimate music. So let's take a listen to San Francisco from Mickey's Speedway USA. This is so cool, man. This is San Francisco from Mickey's Speedway USA, composed by Ben Cullum. One thing that I think is so great, a couple things, I'm talking about the instruments. The flute sound is absolutely fantastic. What's cool is there's two distinct bass sounds. You have the slap bass sound, and you also have a fretless bass sound. And there's one point, it's right after it comes back to the loop again, where there's a bass that's kind of doing this nice soloistic, and it goes really high.
Mm-hmm.
There's that nice kind of vibrato, and it's just incredibly authentic. And what I like about the soundtrack is it's very laid back. It's a little bit more laid back than you might expect from a kart racer, but I don't know, I think it also fits at the same time. There's actually, I think there's some other tracks that may have fit the racing vibe a little bit more than this one, but this one is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Very interesting, again, very interesting choice of instruments having that flute.
I recommend if you guys are interested, you should check out the track Chicago from this game. Not to be confused with the Perfect Dark track, Chicago.
Also a Rare title.
Absolutely. What is their fascination with Chicago? I wonder. We're going to move on to Rad Racer 2, composed by the legendary Nobuo Uematsu. Let's take a listen to Coast to Coast. You're listening to Coast to Coast from Rad Racer 2 for the NES, composed by Nobu Uematsu.
This is going to be the second time on the podcast I'm going to say that, but the end of that form reminds me of Circle of Life from The Lion King. There's a very interesting series of chords that happens in that song from The Lion King.
I thought you were going to say Flying Batteries Only. Because I was thinking today's podcast.
Oh, no.
Not just the podcast.
I said
in
it on the first Ease episode, I remember talking that's about funny. How something sounded like the Circle of Life.
I wasn't expecting you to say that, Will, so that's cool. You know, come to
Wait, just listen. See, the circle of life. You know what
I'm
saying?
Can I just say that's a pretty obscure observation, but I like it. I'm a fan of that.
Oh, thank you.
That is a good song.
It's just part of my dementia.
We haven't played a track from the Lion King video game for the Sega Genesis. We should do that at some point. That is a nice soundtrack.
Is that Tommy Tallarico?
I don't think it was Tallarico.
Well, it was the same people who did Aladdin. It's a shame it wasn't Howard.
It is a shame. No, but that actually has a pretty good soundtrack. We could have a Disney episode. We totally could.
Disney's a bunch of hacks. I'm just kidding. I love Disney.
Let's move on to Virtua Racing Deluxe. Now, the original Virtua Racing came out for the Sega Genesis, and this deluxe version came out for the 32X. If you guys remember, that was a very failed
it was a failed
add-on.
At a console.
It was an add-on to the Genesis, and it basically just made it like two Genesis on top of each other. That was like maybe like 5% more powerful.
It just led the Genesis into its grave even sooner.
This was also composed by Naofumi Hitaya. And if you guys remember, we played a track from Sega Rally Championship, which is also composed by him. Let's take a listen to Demonstration. This is Demonstration from Virtua Racing Deluxe for the 32X, composed by Naofumi Hitaya. This guy really has a nice style in the mid-90s for Sega racing game music. He really does a good job. This soundtrack is cool because there's obviously some additional songs that weren't in the original. Actually, right here, I'm going to fade this back up for the ending. Check this out.
Virtua Racing!
Interesting how he pronounced it Virtua.
It's a little too late in my opinion. I mean, that song is fairly long to have that voice sample right then.
Absolutely. This may have been looped twice, so it may have actually come in like half that length, but still it'd be like
Virtua Racing.
Still it'd be like 45 seconds, which people would probably press start before that. We're going to move on to Mario Kart Super Circuit, which came out for the Game Boy Advance. This was composed by Kenichi Nishimaki. We're going to play Shy Guy Beach and Cheap Cheap Island. Listening to Shy Guy Beach and Cheap Cheap Island from Mario Kart Super Circuit, composed by Kenichi Nishimaki. I have to remind myself that this was from Super Circuit, because to me this is just an absolutely classic Mario Kart piece. I always equate this to the original Super Mario Kart.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Koopa Troopa Beach from 64 as well.
Yes.
Some of those rhythmic things are almost sort of a callback, like the dun 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 dun.
This is, yeah, just such an authentic kind of 50s elevator piece of music. It's just, it reminds me a little bit of that Public Domain music that you love so much. But
right.
One thing that's so cool is that the bass sample is very impressive, but it's a really obvious example of what sampling is. And you can hear it when it goes high to those higher registers on the bass.
Right.
All of the low bass frequencies are completely like dying at
right.
that point.
And I mean, the combination of the samples and those like really like PSG kind of 8-bit mm-hmm. sounds
sure.
are very evident, and it's kind of an interesting mix. You get this kind of like, I don't know, we've said before, like 11-bit or like 12-bit sound.
13.5-bit? Yeah, no, that's something that we talked about in our
handhelds. The
samples
aren't that high quality, but I mean, they're better than the 8-bit sounds, but like when you combine them, it's this weird kind of mixture.
It's very effective. It was very brilliant, because if you notice, for me, I definitely noticed this, the snare samples are definitely ripped from Mario Kart 64.
Right.
It's a very specific snare sound, and I think at the time, if you're a Nintendo fan, you know, grew up playing Mario Kart 64, this game came out, subconsciously that kind of adds to how impressive this is, because it feels appropriate.
Right, even
world.
Visually, they sort of like ripped
the sprites
from 64 and like made them look 2D, but it, mm-hmm. it made the game look so impressive just because it was like the exact same thing.
Absolutely, I know this, in general, this game is very impressive. It's one of my favorite Mario Kart games. I think it's always surprising. Like, I think as far as the handhelds go, the handhelds are responsible for some of the best Mario Kart games in the whole series.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a superb soundtrack with a lot of really good melodies. Something that's just so cool about this song is you have a lot of those diminished chords, a sort of like transitionary chords.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very pretty and an upbeat melody, but it has like an extra layer of jazziness that I feel like you don't get in a lot of the Mario Kart games. That's something very particular to this song, but it's something that always jumps out at me whenever I play this game.
We're going to move on to Sonic Riders. We alluded to this earlier on in the podcast. This was composed by Fumi Kumitani. I remember that name from our Sonic Volume 2 episode. We're going to play a track called The Theme of Sega Carnival. Enjoy! A lot of fun. This is the theme of Sega Carnival from Sonic Riders, composed by Fumi Kumitani.
So Fumi Kumitani, she did a lot of the music for some of the more modern Sonic games.
Yeah,
right?
I believe like Sonic Colors and even ones earlier, like was it like Adventure
Sonic
2?
Sonic Adventure 2 and
yeah.
I think Sonic Adventure 1.
Quite a bit of Sonic work, so yeah, she's pretty good. Yeah, this track is cool. It definitely feels like Sonic, doesn't it?
Totally.
It kind of fits the vibe, but what's kind of cool is like it's a little bit more crazy than a lot of Sonic music. There's so much interaction happening here, like, and I think part of it is like you're getting a lot of those nice modern electronic effects
mm-hmm.
that obviously weren't possible with chip music.
Right. It
so
reminds
just
me a lot of Sonic Colors, actually, where
yeah.
it's like it feels much more like modern pop music. Like it's
right.
kind of like Sonic music has evolved a little bit past like mm-hmm. the pop music of the 80s and 90s and sort of into like that modern like American pop music, which has that like heavy backbeat and is sort of more reminiscent of like British like house music.
And also it's important to note that this is a racing game too, so I feel like right. she's kind of cranking it up a little bit more than she probably would have on a standard Sonic title, but not much. It's kind of funny, I think one of the things that a lot of Sonic fans always think about is like fast, just speed, speed, speed. Like
yeah.
the songs need to be so fast. And I think that's kind of funny because back in the day, that wasn't, people forget about Sonic 1.
It wasn't the case for the music.
Yeah, I mean, Sonic 1, listen to Marble Zone, you know, like it wasn't always fast. But at the end of the day, this is a racing game. So this is incredibly appropriate. And it's
right.
just a lot of fun to listen to. Cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us today on our Racing Games 2 episode. We had a really good time sharing this with you guys. We just want to give you a reminder once again to subscribe to our RSS feed. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. And if you're new to the podcast and you're just joining us, welcome and thanks for listening.
Yeah, we really appreciate all of your support, and we hope that you keep it locked here to this blog, because we're going to have some really cool stuff coming up in the future, and some very big, exciting developments in the very near future, so I definitely look forward to some things.
Absolutely. Well, once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Thank you so much, you guys. Have a fantastic week.
Peace out.